Everybody, it is Adam Shartoff, your host of Film Wax. It is Friday, November 24th, Thanksgiving weekend, 2023. This is Film Wax episode number 785. And on this terrific episode, we have two segments. We have a filmmaker named Travis Burgess in our first segment, along with my friend, Film Wax friend, actor Bill Sage, who is the star of the film. It's called Hayseed, and it's on streaming platforms right now, including Amazon Prime Video, and Apple, etc. And then in the second segment, we're going to bring on, returning to the podcast after some 600, 700 episodes, is a director, film director named Natalia Leet. And she was on many years ago, as I mentioned. She co-created a web series called Be Here Nowish. But she's back. She's had quite a career trajectory since then. I like to think that we had something to do with it, even though I know better. But she has come off of directing a number of episodes of The Handmaid's Tale, and she was brought on to hire to direct the first three episodes of a new Hulu series called Black Cake. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, here is a young director making his directorial debut named Travis Burgess. He reached out to me because Bill, who's a friend and who's been on here a couple of times before and who I've known over the many years, recommended that he reach out to me, and we did, and I saw his film, Hayseed. It's a kind of a comedy, neo-noirish story about a murder in a small town involving the pastor of a church and then all the friends and congregants and Bill Sage plays an insurance investigator who's sent there, and what happens in the 24-hour period that he's there and how he figures out everything. Sort of in the Columbo, Rockford Files vibe. You know, we're talking about it in a minute here. You'll hear us talking about this and more. But it's great to bring Bill and Travis onto the show. So we'll go to that now. Again, the film Hayseed, and you can visit hayseedmovie.com to get more information. But the movie... I neglected to mention, just the other night, I came down to the city, New York City, and we did a screening and a Q&A at the Village East Cinema in a way of kind of a special screening to launch the stream. And we had a great turnout, and we had a fun Q&A. So it's a pleasure that we were also able to do the podcast together. And here is that conversation. Hayseed is the name of the movie. Available now on streaming platforms. The conversation is available right now, coming up in this moment here on Film Wax.
I've been talking to the Lord. It's time I come clean. I need you to do something for me, and you can't ask any questions.
Reverend Dowding?
Emmaus mourns the death of a beloved reverend after an accidental drowning in the church baptismal pool.
I'm investigator Leo Hobbs. I'm conducting this interview.
So you're not police?
Were you saying something?
So how long is this going to take?
Where'd you say you're from again?
It wasn't suicide. He was murdered.
Yeah, okay. Look, this isn't how this kind of thing typically works.
Are you here to help?
There's nothing to find that we haven't already.
Well, you know, small towns talk.
I like to look a man in the eye when I talk with
him. Wheel the safe out. That's very simple. And now there is a dead body.
You don't think I know that?
Your beloved reverend was murdered, and his killer is in this room.
Did you get it?
Piece of cake.
Well, this is a treat. Because I have a long history with Bill.
Yeah.
And Travis, I'm so glad you reached out to me. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Adam, for having us on your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Well,
I've listened to many episodes, and it's a great.
Well, thank you.
It's a great podcast.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And your film, Hayseed, is going to be having a special screening in New York City, at the Village East Cinema, which is on Second Avenue in the city, on Tuesday, November 21st, right?
That's right. Tuesday, November 21st. I believe doors are at 6:30. There are still tickets available. But hopefully by the time this podcast is released, we will have recorded there, and Adam is going to be our moderator.
What?
Oh, you didn't know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah, no, and I'm happy to any excuse to, also like get down to the city for the day. It's good. It's a good thing. And I'm happy to do it. And so let's talk about the Hayseed. First of all, can you, Travis, talk a little bit about, the origin story and also casting of Bill Sage, even though I'm pretty much the same age as Bill, I kind of consider his coming out on the scene, with the Hal Hartley films and the things that followed, as also my own as a young adult, discovering my own generation of filmmakers. And so you're a bit younger, though. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
What went into the casting of Bill? And then we'll talk about more about this story of Hayseed.
Well, I originally wrote Hayseed as a challenge onto myself. I'd never written a mystery quite like that before. Generally, I stick to genre and sometimes dramatic things. I really love the genre, the mystery genre. And growing up, I watched a lot of Columbo with my father. Scooby-Doo was always on when I was a kid. And it's just something that I gravitate to. I think everyone kind of has fun with trying to figure out who did it, and a good old fashioned whodunit's always been something I loved. So it was a lot of work trying to craft that mystery and trying to pick and choose what direction to go with it. But ultimately, I chose to base it on my hometown of Eden Rapids, Michigan, and base it on some characters that I knew growing up there, and that was kind of the genesis of that. And I sent a very early draft to Bill, and we got on a Zoom call much like this.
I would send an early draft to Bill too, but I'm a film.
We had met on another film.
Gotcha. Yeah.
He's very generous with his time.
What's that?
Sorry, Bill.
What was the name of it?
It was a film called The Preppy Connection.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
Yeah, The Preppy Connection came out in 2016. Joe Casello is the director, and it's a great little film that I very much learned how to make movies while working on. And so I knew Bill through The Preppy Connection, which, if you guys haven't seen it, it's available, I believe, on iTunes and Apple. Check it out. It has Thomas Mann in it as well, and Amy Hargraves, who is also in Hayseed. But I sent an early draft to Bill, and he was generous with his time and read it. And I knew I had something there if he was responding to it in the way that he did. So, we hired casting directors, Sig DeMiguel and Steven Vincent in New York, and they've cast a million things, and they've worked with Bill in the past. So I was thrilled to work with Bill, and actually the whole cast really came together in a nice, tidy way. You never know with these things, but it was really amazing for him to take a chance with me as a first time feature director, and open up his wisdom and experience to me. And I learned a lot from Bill on the set. So that's all.
Yeah, we had a lot of challenges being a young director was not one of them. He was great. You know, we were shooting through COVID, you know, so that's the implications of, you know, getting set back on a small film are huge. We got through it. We did get set back a couple of times, but we're able to still do what we could.
Right.
And knock on wood, I never managed it. I didn't get sick. I mean, for Travis or I, it would have been impossible.
Well, Bill was in every
Bill is in every
of the movie.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
His delivering lines in every scene, and it just was essential that he be healthy. You know, to add some context to that, we set out to make this movie in 4 weeks. We had one version of the schedule, and by the end of shooting, we had 14 versions of that schedule. Mm-hmm. There was so much moving things around. You know, we had Meg Case, our production designer, build this construction site because we thought we were going to film there the next morning. And then we had to scrap that idea and have her tear it down, build it again, tear it down, because mm-hmm. we were going to shoot. We weren't. And all the casts were, you know, we were shooting in mid-Michigan in the height of the pandemic.
Yeah. Can I ask you what the timing was, since you brought it up?
It was October 2021. And so that particular county wasn't prepared for someone to make a movie there. And they didn't have the resources or infrastructure for COVID testing, at least to the extent that the CDC, OSHA, and SAG required us to test. So we had to get creative, and you know, everyone was really, I can't say enough. Like, they showed up in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, coming from LA and from New York, and they hunkered down in these hotels and they didn't expose themselves. And they're, you know, I talked to Ishmenia Mendez a couple of weeks ago for the first time. She said she saw my face because I was wearing a mask and goggles the entire time. Every photo of Bill and I on set, I look like I'm going into like the ER or something. But
right,
yeah, just a true testament to everyone's like professionalism and just being game to be there and make a movie like this. So
yeah,
by then go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Oh, I mean, you know, working during that time, I also worked in Hawaii, and you know, I mean, what the crews go through is, or just, you know, the behind this mask all the time. I mean, you know, and that's true. You know, seeing somebody's face was, you know, I didn't know what somebody looked like. You know, so many of these young people on the set, yeah. I just never get to see their face. What was it?
But Bill always knew when he was on the right track, when he would hear me laughing behind the mask, because
I
had this paper mask on my face and very blank on expression. But, you know,
it's like a giggle, and it's
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very. Yeah. It's very expressive. It's like he's getting something that he hadn't anticipated.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, that is, you know, a bonus or a treat of being a first-time director of a feature film, maybe, especially when you have a really great cast, and then that you're going to get some prizes.
Yeah, we really did.
Much more than you think you're asking for.
Yeah. Ishmenia and I had really good working relationship that was automatic. You know, just worked. You know, it was because you're expecting something, and it's not that. I won't divulge what that is, but you're expecting something romantic, but that's not the case,
right?
And it's really like there's a genuine caring, and that I think that really worked with her, you know. And she's like me, she's from theater, so she's disciplined, and you have to be on when you're doing something like this. You gotta, when you get the opportunity to shoot, you gotta we got to get through like 11 pages, right? I mean, sometimes we got through more than
13
that.
13 pages was the best day we had, and that was yeah. It's incredible to see them work, and like something we were striving for was just this quippiness that, was so popular, this transatlantic clip I kept referring to in the 40s and the Humphrey Bogart films that I loved, and Bill and Ishmane they got that immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the theater background, like you said. But, again, speaking to the first time director thing, you write this thing in a vacuum alone at your desk, and then you get to set and you have the pleasure of these like excellent, excellent actors bringing it to life and elevating the material further than like you could have ever like imagined. And you can't help but smile behind that mask and just seeing it kind of come to life. And
man, there was one in particular. There was a local actor there that Kyle Jurassic, right?
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah,
he's really great. And he's got kids, and he's this is not his main job. It should be. he was outstanding. A shout out to Kyle.
Yeah. I love Kyle very much. He was in Broadway for quite a while, but it's a difficult lifestyle to maintain. So, after having a family, he decided to move to Atlanta but I kind of always had him in my mind as the Trooper Gellis, who's actually the only, really the only pushback for Hobbins throughout the film. He's really he's the local police. He's a state trooper, but very young and naive
and maybe a little threatened by Leo coming into town and,
certainly, right? Yeah.
Taking
yeah,
over this, so... this investigation. Right. We should mention Bill plays Leo Hobbins, who is a former police officer detective who lost that position and became an insurance investigator. And this, this is a starts on the plot of a pastor who dies or is killed or murdered, where, this is the whole point, is it's a whodunit. It's like it's the fun to see. Bill, let's get down into it a little bit in terms of the character, because I'm watching your performance and I'm thinking, man, I'm trying to, there's some, I think maybe, yes, Columbo's we've already even touched upon. Did you draw on any other inspirations, or did you kind of make this your own? I don't know that I could detect anybody else necessarily.
No, I just made it my own. But, yeah. I grew up with, and we're in that age.
Yes, right.
Where that was, it's still the best thing that was ever on television for me.
I agree with that.
Peter Falk in Columbo, it's just,
yes,
how he maneuvers through situations. He just really championed that. He was so cool. He was like the coolest, Rockford Files.
Of course.
Was also, but so those two in particular, but really Columbo, when he would double back, it's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry to,
Yes, yeah. Really, right.
Oh, that was
I'm sorry, one more thing, ma'am. I'm sorry to bother you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Is that your car? Yeah. I mean, it was always like
amazing. That's willing, a good
thank you. the willingness to kind of be considered a jerk, an idiot, as long as he was, he could do it right until almost to the very end. And then of course, he's a genius detective, and he's willing to hold on to that. And, I guess that does exist a bit for Leo as well in terms of, and then there is the nod to your trench coat or your.
Yeah, that was
your raincoat. That's your, yeah.
An ill-fitting one at that, it was.
Right.
It was great because one of the things that was great, Samantha Clement found this one, is it, it's too small, you know. It's just like, it's like it's just, it doesn't quite fit. But, you know, we decided that that would be better than one that was just too big, you know.
Yeah, right.
No, this was, you know, anyway, this was a great idea that she had. And also just, I mean, the day when we kind of came up with, he just wears a vest and a t-shirt and a trench coat, and that's kind of how he rolls. And, you know, he's not actually in the town that long, you know.
24 hours, I think. Yeah, it's just right. Overnight. Yeah.
So that's it. So it's got this whole Aristotelian linear thing to it as well. But he, in a short amount of time, he that's one of the things I thought was kind of great, is he ingratiates himself to this town. And yeah, it pulls on something. This is definitely a great example of, you know, why do you tell this story? What's different about this day than any other day, you know? So there are some nice things about that. And it happens, you know, it happens early when Ishmenya's character just says that he was murdered, and that there's this great reaction that Travis has written that, oh, that's okay. That's not usually how this goes. You do this, I do this, and then, you know, and it worked. It worked because she had the right tone about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned already this took, the production takes place, or rather the production took place during COVID. And there's a lot of dialogue. It's all dialogue. I mean, I would like to ask you, even technically, Bill, how you prepare for so much dialogue, because you really are in almost every scene, with a couple of exceptions, I think. But also, did you guys have time to rehearse at all, or anything like that? Or Travis was, yeah, no.
It came together.
If I ever have a chance to make another movie, there will be so much rehearsal time.
But, well, you will.
The way this was, we had zero, and yeah, it's a testament to everyone involved. And
yeah, I mean, you really, in a lot of things, really, you're flying by the seat of your pants. And if you can learn to work that way, you know, like the Hal Hartley movie that I'm going to be doing, I have a lot of
Where to Land. I think
Where
it's called.
To Land. Yes, so. I have a lot of running room on that. As a matter of fact, we're shooting that. We're supposed to shoot that 4 years ago to the day that we're going to be shooting it. And this was kind of right away, because things kind of suddenly came together. And I don't know, there was a lot of spontaneity to it. You just, as best you can with, you know, with your lines. And I mean, I there were some things I just made up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I wasn't married to any line of dialogue, and I wanted Bill, and I wanted Catherine Morris, and I wanted Ishmania to feel free to do that, because they certainly would elevate it off the page better than I could ever, you know, sitting alone.
That banter with Trooper Ellis is word perfect, though. It's exactly what. I mean, most of it is, but there were certain things, certain parts that lent itself to, you know, reacting a little different, you know, and you know, you get a sense of that. But that one was, I felt like that was a perfectly written scene that was, just very funny and, you know, like, they're just such different people, you know, and then you get to see them, their relationships earned. That was another good thing about it.
Yeah. I love the arc of that relationship. To Bill's point, like it was so complex to track everything. Right. So it was important that we nail the dialogue, word perfect, as Bill put it, but also on take 3-4, like they really were given all the flexibility and freedom to like, you know, improv there's some beautiful moments that come up in the movie that feels just so organic, and it's just because the actors were working out together. But it was 136 pages, 225 scenes. It was a behemoth, and certainly we had no business making that as a first movie. But you know, we muddled through, and if we had to just make sure that we had everything before we moved on, and part of that was nailing it, and Bill did consistently nail it. But I was happy to, like, when I was talking to Catherine Morris, she was just thrilled to be able to improvise some of her lines, especially in the interview section. You have a lot more wiggle room, and it was so much fun to work with everybody in that capacity.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, you know, just all these actors that you were able to have, like, kind of one-on-one time with, right? We should mention again, the name of the movie is called Hayseed, and it's going to have a screening in New York City. We're all going to be there. Bill, you're going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah, the 20th.
Oh, good. Oh, good. We can see each other. IRL again. That's amazing. And then we'll have a bunch of the cast members, or I guess they're probably all spread out.
The New York cast is Ishmenia and Amy Hargraves, who is,
that's great.
Is great, great in the movie. So hopefully they can make it. But I'm going to be flying out here in the morning to LA for two screenings out there, and I hope to
run. Well, where are those?
That is at the Lemley Royal, and also the Lemley NoHo 7. That's tomorrow night and Wednesday night. And we'll have Jack Fallahy doing a Q&A at 1, and Catherine Morris and Marta Pieskar at the other. Marta was a lot of fun to work with too. I don't know how much crossover you had, Bill, with her, but she was so funny.
Who?
Marta, who played Willa, the daughter.
She was fantastic.
So I'm excited to see everybody again as a, you know, because it's been a while, and these things take a while. So
yeah, I hung out with Jack a lot, so that was, enjoyed him. Great actor, very funny guy. Amy, of course, you know, an old friend. She's terrific. She's amazing.
But it's quite the ensemble, you know. Just looking at the cast list, it was a lot to organize and keep everyone there in Michigan. But as a ensemble piece, I'm quite proud of it.
Right. And it's going to will stream. Is that what the right? It's going to be streaming right afterwards.
Yes. So starting November 21st, you will be able to rent it, buy it on Amazon and iTunes. I think also Apple TV, amongst other platforms. And after that, we'll go to VOD. On the SVOD platform. So that's yet to be decided which ones, but yeah, so our theatrical run starts tomorrow, and gearing up for that. We're going to do a lot of cities. We've already sold out 7 shows, and we're hoping to add some more.
Great.
And you know, it's just been just kind of like this swell of enthusiasm around it. And a lot of thanks is to the actors posting on social media and helping promote that. We were so fortunate to have the SAG interim agreement.
That was great that worked out. But Travis, don't under, like, I don't know, you know, estimate what your part, because to get so many screenings, that shows a lot of work that you and whoever is on your team is doing. I mean, that's terrific work you're getting all the, where is it opening tomorrow?
Tomorrow is at the is in Los Angeles.
Tomorrow starts the LA. Did say you're tomorrow. Okay, good. I know. I heard. You don't have to repeat yourself. and then so LA, New York City. Any others?
Yeah.
Well, where you could just say where people could go, I guess. But we know by the time people see this, they could go and pop over to one of those streaming services you mentioned. So.
Yeah, you likely will have missed the theatrical. Right. Hope to expand it.
But it's good to mention it anyway, because.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're proud of it. Like, we'll bring it to Michigan, where we filmed the movie.
Makes sense.
It did really well in some of the festivals there at Hell's Half Mile.
Those are old friends of mine. Alan LaFave is a great guy.
Alan's wonderful. And it was probably the best screening we've had to date.
Oh, yeah.
At the State Theater. We were the
Great theater. Yeah.
Bill was nominated for Best Leading Man. And we also had the nomination for Best Ensemble. We ended up winning the Programmers Award for the spirit of the festival. We were very proud of that. And, you know, a lot of folks came up from Detroit to see the movie. And so.
Right. Bill, have you ever been to that particular festival?
No.
It's in a little town. It's I shouldn't say little, but it's a smallish town called Bay City, Michigan. I was there a couple of times. I think I don't remember, once or twice, but I had a fantastic time. But it was very strange. I was walking around the town, and you don't see anybody. This is like, I don't know if you have this experience, Travis. Things may have changed. This is even before the pandemic. I was there and I was walking around. It's like, but you go inside and it's like everybody's like in different, you know, there's tons of people all of a sudden at a screening or at a restaurant or a party.
It felt like a back lot in Hollywood. I mean,
yeah,
the streets
exactly.
were ghostly. And then you go into the
It's just not my imagination.
400 people there. Like it was wild.
And
speaking to that and
but it's Capital a cute, City. It's a great little town and a great festival. Hell's Half Mile Music and Film Festival.
Yeah, Don and Alan do.
Great guys. Don Hessel.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're bringing it back to Michigan for some more screenings.
Great.
Detroit sold out. We added another screen. Ann Arbor, we're playing there. Lansing has two screenings. Grand Rapids is playing at the Wealthy Theater November 17th. We're part of their Noir-vember series.
Oh, that's nice.
In between Blood Simple and The Big Lebowski. So
not familiar with those films.
Pretty cool to be on that marquee, you know what I mean?
yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Noir-vember. I gotta learn more about Noir-vember. Yeah. And you know, there's a little bit, Bill, you talked about, as you know, we wind down, Bill, you talked a little bit about also your own love of, maybe Travis, you mentioned this, Bogart. And there seems to be, we all love that stuff, but there seems almost to be a little bit of like, you know, that end of Casablanca moment there at the end with you. And what was the local trooper's name again? I'm sorry.
Trooper Gellis.
Gellis. Yeah. Gellis. A little bit of that kind of, you know, this looks like the beginning of a kind of a beautiful friendship kind of moment where there's pieces made. I don't want to give away the ending, of course, or too much, but you guys kind of have that like friendship bond moment.
I like that too. It's a good animal bond, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, from where they start to how they end the arc is fun and rewarding. Exactly. That was part of the challenge of writing something like this. It's you know, there's a lot of information that needs to be conveyed in the first 30 minutes of the movie, and a lot of it takes place in these interviews that Hobbins, Bill's character, is conducting, and knowing what to cut out and what to leave in. And how to thread the needle and keep everyone's interest. So we did some test screenings, and you know, I was watching the audience, seeing when they were kind of losing interest and starting to look away or sinking in their chairs. And we cut out 8 minutes, and I think we found a pretty sweet spot. But everything in the first half of this movie it comes back and is rewarded in the last scene. Like all great detective stories, there's this moment where Hobbins gets up and he gives his assessment of all the goings on. And there's every piece of information has a callback, and you know, it invites people to watch it a second time. You know, one of the fun things that happened was hearing people talk after these screenings at Hell's Half Mile, at Capital City, at some of the others that we did. We were in 10 festivals this year.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, really? I missed that, or I thought this.
Well,
was
you got to make another film. Yeah, you know? Time to make another film. You know,
working on it. We got a couple in play right now. So,
good.
Yeah.
You know. Well, thank you again for, you know, like inviting me, and I'm looking forward to meeting you both in person, or to seeing you both in person, I should say. We'll have a good time. I think we'll have a good, you know, fun evening, and yeah. You know, yeah. Right. So, unless did I leave anything important out? You sent me a teaser, right? Or there's a teaser for the film, right?
There's a teaser. There's a full length trailer.
Now a trailer. Okay.
Yes.
That's good. Okay, so I'll put it at the front, at the beginning of this, and you know,
great.
We'll encourage everybody to go and stream the film right away. After this, go now to one of the streaming companies we mentioned and stream Tacy, directed and written by Travis Burgess and starring Bill Sage. You guys, I'm looking forward to a little later this month, and then Thanksgiving. Are you celebrating? Yeah. Where are you having Thanksgiving, Travis?
I am a big fan of Thanksgiving. I cook every year for everybody.
Oh, you do?
It's kind of my holiday that I take on. I invite everyone over to my house. So this year will be a little smaller than years past, but it's just only because I'm busy. But
right.
I hope has their turkey coma going on, and they sit on the couch and they fire up Hayseed on any of the platforms where they can stream it. And it's a perfect time to watch a movie.
Sure.
That's a perfect Thanksgiving movie, I got to say.
A lot of fall leaves, a lot of warm colors. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill, where are you and Lorraine going to be on Thanksgiving?
We will be in the Catskills.
Nice. Like, you know, we can't be too far. I'm right by the town of Catskills. So how far can I be? I look forward to this. Is going to be my first Thanksgiving up here. I mean, spending it up here. I usually go to Long Island, but I'm going to be up here, but after I'm in the village with you guys.
I look forward to seeing you, and thank you.
Me too.
Thanks for doing this, Adam.
It's anytime. I always have
really appreciate
to.
It Wonderful
yeah yeah
to be on the show.
Well, you know, thank you guys for asking me, and we'll have a good time, like I said, on the 21st. So enjoy the rest of your evenings.
Yes,
respectively.
all right,
thanks a lot.
You got it.
Take care.
So we're bringing back Natalia Leet here. She is back with this series called Black Cake. It's adapted from a novel by Shermaine Wilkerson. It was a favorite of Barack Obama's. It was made into this, I guess you call it, a limited series on Hulu. Natalia directed the first three episodes. It's called Black Cake. It's available now to watch. This is my conversation with Natalia. So glad to have her back on FilmWax.
Some secrets should remain buried.
I'm sorry. Don't hate me. I had car stuff, and then I couldn't find my keys. And...
You don't get to just blow in here acting like you care all of a sudden.
I'm not acting. Ma is dead.
Read the will, please.
Your mother rarely spoke of her childhood.
She never spoke of it. She always dodged our questions.
Well, in the end, she decided to talk.
I promised myself I would take all of this with me to my grave. I didn't want to burden you with the weight of it. But I must confess, Eleanor is not my real name.
Kovi, wait!
I had to protect you from the life I was forced to have.
I have a way that you can erase all your debts.
My daughter is only 16.
No better age for a wife.
In order to ensure my safety, someone would have to die.
None of this makes sense. I mean, did Dad know any of this?
With the stress of all these secrets weighing on her, she must have felt so alone.
For the rest of my life, I'm gonna keep looking over my shoulder.
What are you running from?
Betrayal is a powerful thing, but love brings the light that will guide you out of your darkest moments.
How many more secrets was Ma keeping?
She has a story, our story. We just have to keep listening.
Some secrets are best left buried.
Here's to the past. May it not blow up our present.
This is your story, too.
And I want to mention that, yeah, you were on in June of 2013, like 700 episodes ago. It's kind of insane.
Oh, my goodness. For some reason, I thought that we spoke after MFA. But no, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, really a long time ago. It was the web series.
Yes, Spiernausch. Yeah. Wow.
Spiernausch. Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
A lifetime ago for some, isn't it?
It literally is.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. I was saying also, it's nice to be able to see a career grow and to bring you back. And although you look exactly the same, or I should say, we both do.
Yeah, I think so too. We haven't aged that much.
I would have been the one to age more.
I'm covering my grays, so
good. Well, I mean, I like gray. I better like gray. How you been though?
I've been good. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. To think about 10 years ago, because, you know, you see people from that time period who have grown with me and who are doing amazing things now. And then other people who pivoted and went on to do another career or dropped out or, you know, it's just,
it's very true. Yeah. I'm exactly like, if I look back around the time we were talking about back to 20, I mean, a lot of the folks that were on and, you know, see where their careers have gone. It's pretty neat to see that, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And looking at your podcast too, and just how many amazing people have been on since then. I was really excited to just get back in touch.
And now, and including then.
Yes, including then.
There are amazing people on even then. It's true. And I can't even imagine that I've been doing this that long. It's kind of mind-boggling. You know, it sort of has a life of its own. I'm just here trying to figure out what, you know, not to fuck it up too much.
Yeah.
This series, I was very pleased. I have to tell you, Natalia, very pleased. I thought this was really great show. It's called Black Cake. You've directed the first three episodes of the first season, right? So
that's right. Which was my first pilot. So it was a real honor to come in and help with MJ, the showrunner, establish what the show was going to look like and kind of help set the tone for the show.
Yeah. Well, how did you get the gig?
So it came to me through my reps, obviously. I was working on Handmaid's Tale when I was given the script, and I was going from show to show last year. And so I was a little overwhelmed, to be honest, where I was like, oh, I don't even know if I have time to take on something else. It's a good place to be. But I read the script and I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with like the idea of having a show that spans multiple generations and takes place in different cultures. I grew up in multiple cultural backgrounds, so I related to that. And then I was also just really drawn to the generational trauma and how things are sort of carried through from one generation to the next, even if we don't know exactly what happened.
Right. Because it is right. And by the way, another subplot or theme in the series is about family secrets, which you whether it's in your family or maybe just adjacent to your family, maybe I was always thinking that my family was as conventional, you know, as you get. And yet when you dig a little, you find out that actually, no, it's very rare to have a family that doesn't have secrets, you know?
Absolutely. And I think also for my parents' generation and generations before them, where it was kind of the norm, there was so much social pressure to keep some things under wrap. And there are secrets in my family that some people still haven't, only some people know about, like some people in the family member know about, you know, and it's like still kept a secret from others. And for me, it's just like, I feel like it should all be out in the open and we need to understand our history, but.
Right. Well, in the case of the main character, or I should say the catalyst character, which is the mother.
Yes.
Remind me of her name. Just
Covey.
Covey?
Covey, yeah.
Covey.
Well, then she becomes Eleanor.
Oh, right, right. So the whole, this, which kind of suggests the whole issue here, she had to kind of go into herself. What's the right way of explaining? Kind of almost her own witness protection type of thing, except that she wasn't a witness, but she had to go into hiding and change her identity in order to protect herself because of incidents that took place when she was a very young woman and with her own family and withhold these secrets from her own children here in the States, correct?
That's right.
So, but so it goes exactly to what you're saying, that we don't know exactly why these siblings, these grown siblings, have been estranged, or they have a pretty estranged relationship, or at least a tense relationship. But maybe they don't even weren't completely aware until we start to dig, as we said, right, into the families.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's, she's leaving them a recording, knowing that she's on her deathbed. Because if it's not really revealed now, they're never going to know the truth about their family.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's called Black Cake. It's on Hulu. You can watch the first, as we, Natalia and I speak, it's, I think the first six episodes are on a line available right now. Though, again, the first three are the ones that were really the best.
Thank you.
No, I don't want to. You never know. I may get the other directors out here. But no, it's a really great. Great acting, great. I mean, really, just there's what's so great. I mean, about you know, the episodics and that there are so many. And right now, with in the heyday of this, at least that so many actors are getting. I mean, especially I guess now we're coming out of this strike, but that there's just so many good actors on, and so much good writing. It's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah,
good directing, many good directors.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's amazing because it was a lot of the cast, they had never done something at this scale. So there was, you know, we were bringing up, finding people and bringing them in, or the showrunner was, and some really amazing discoveries in there. Simon Wang, who plays the father,
right.
I thought was just such a brilliant actor, wonderful to work with. And even Mia Isaac, who plays Covey, she's done a lot of indie features. But this was her being the lead of a TV show, and she's, you know, she's 19,
right?
And she is doing this show where she has like so many intense, dramatic scenes throughout the show, and she just pulls it from I don't know where, but she killed it.
She acts good. Where did you shoot? But it's a Caribbean American story, by the way. It's written, it's from, adapted from a novel by Charmaine Wilkerson, of the same title, right? It was a popular novel, Caribbean American novel, I guess. I'm guessing, and a favorite of President Obama's.
That's right. He has good taste.
He does.
Yeah. So we shot it in Jamaica. We shot it actually where the story takes place, which is a part of Jamaica called Portland Parish. It's about, you know, 2 hours, maybe more from Kingston. And it's on the other side of the island. It's a pretty rural part. It's not where you're having the nice resorts or fancy hotels or anything
like that.
Less
tourism, in other words.
Less tourism. Mm-hmm. But that was really important for the story, to have it feel authentic to that place and the people who live there.
Mm-hmm.
and you get some, there's like, I don't know, for me, some locations, like there was this, the exterior of the church where they get married in the pilot was so special. It's just this church with a cemetery next to it in front of the ocean. And then definitely pulling in a lot of local people as day players or to be our background was really special to have the authenticity of the place. Like we didn't go to Dominican Republic to shoot this, you know?
No, that's great. Hey, tell me a little bit, because, you know, I saw it. The scenes, there's some intense scenes in the water even. So was that shot in like a indoors, those scenes in the water?
No, it was crazy. We were actually shooting it in the ocean at night.
Oh yeah. Wow. Okay. And, I mean, I can see it's not that hard to maybe to make it look like there's a storm. You know, you just have to be creative, but it was pretty cool. I was wondering, where is Natalia out there in the boat or something?
I was out there in the boat, and we had, you know, we had some rain towers, we had jet skis making the water turn, and we had, you know, wind machines. I mean, but you're still out in the elements. So, you know, the water's salty and you're just, you can't touch the ground. Like it's just, yeah, it's part of just being part of nature there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never shot in a tank, but I think there was actually something even really special about shooting a hurricane scene in the ocean. Because it was just even as a level of intensity for everyone on set.
Right. Yeah. 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 I bet. Well, again, it's called Black Cake. It's on Hulu. I recently switched on the insistence of my partner. She because I get Hulu, you know, with my phone plans. A lot of information you're getting. And but I had to upgrade to a commercial free plan. So I'm recommending that too for people. Yes. You know, spring a little bit of money to Hulu. Come on. And see Black Cake. Just a question, and we'll show a trailer at the start also, just so people know. Are you going to do any more, by the way, in future seasons? Or
I don't know if what's the plan right now, because it was initially concepted, I think, as a mini series.
Well, yeah, I understand. It's a novel with a storyline built in. That's right. But if it does real well, they sort of figure what they prequel. And...
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely potential because there's so many backstories of characters that weren't explored.
Sure.
So there's a lot to go there. And yeah, for sure. I love that people involved would love to come back.
Now, you mentioned before when we started, and I realized Black Cake is our, you know, main subject here, but you worked on the documentary Handmaid's Tale.
I did.
On that great documentary series, by the way. I'm just trying to rub it.
Documentary series?
I'm trying to make a political point here, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Just real quick, and I because I don't want to take up much space with it, but I just was curious which episodes or which season or seasons did you work on?
Yeah, so I actually did the last season. I did episodes 7 and 8, which if you haven't seen it, I won't say too much, but it's a pretty pivotal episode.
Yeah,
where the tables turn.
How is that now that we've established that? And everybody loves The Handmaid's Tale. It's this enormous. It, you know, it's kept Hulu on the top, you know, of the streamers pretty much, or towards the top there. And my question is, how is it stepping into, like, you have these two different experiences. We've talked about Black Cake. You came in at the beginning. You had actually your part of your role was even establishing the tenor of the series and with the showrunner. So how is it stepping into a highly successful show? It's got to be stressful for you. It's got to be intimidating. I'm just guessing, right? Because don't F it up, Natalia, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was intimidating. I was a huge fan of the show. When I was trying to get into television, it was on the top of my wish list. Like, I would love to direct The Handmaid's Tale.
Wow. And
so then getting it felt enormous, and I was so excited to go into it. I was nervous because I'm working with these. Every actor in it is just phenomenal and so talented that, you know, you're almost like scared to even give them a note. You're like, can I even say, can I even try something else? But of course, like everyone's just very lovely and welcoming, and we got into a groove pretty quickly. And and I felt very, very lucky to do it. It feels different than because you have so much support and everyone knows what they're doing. And the great thing about that show specifically, like, they bring back the same people over and over every year. So it really feels like a family. So you're like the new person in the family.
Right. It could be very difficult. Or, yeah. Well, it has its challenges, but you know.
Yeah. It's like, you want to, you have to just know how to do what's already been established, but also express your own voice in it. And I think Handmaids is a great show for that, because they do very much favor directors and encourage directors to bring their best to the table. It's not like you're just going in there to plug and play.
Right. And clearly they wanted you.
Yeah.
Because they could probably get any number of directors, right?
Yeah.
Anybody, a lot of people like yourself would be really, really happy to get that gig, and you got it as opposed to them.
Right. Yeah. I think that was in part, I had already been doing television, so I had kind of been working my way through shows. And from what I've heard, was they sent MFA, it was down to a few people, they sent MFA, my last feature, to the showrunner and Lizzie Moss and other people who are kind of making the final decisions. And I think that resonated with them and it worked out. But some of it's probably also luck. Like, maybe the other people who were in the running couldn't do it, or who knows, right? What ends up happening? Yeah. It's a little bit of kismet.
Right. Well, I congratulate you on that. And I congratulate you with a black cake.
Thank you.
You know, it's a special show. I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to recommend people.
Yes.
Stream it right after this conversation. Go and stream Black Cake. Yeah, it's on Hulu. Yeah. And we'll do this again, hopefully, you know, soon. We don't have to wait another 600 episodes.
Hey,
by then I might be drooling and what's that?
Hopefully I'll have another feature soon, so we can come back for that.
Yeah, I would love that.
Be amazing.
Yeah, I'd be totally into that. I really would like to stay in touch.
Yes, me too.
And if you come up, are you in LA? I assume so.
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in LA now. Where are you?
I'm in the Hudson Valley now, which is up, you know, in the Rhinebeck, Woodstock, Hudson.
Yeah, I love that area.
Yeah. And there's a real big film community up here. So it's like, you know, it's like almost like the satellite Brooklyn. People are going to hate that I say such a thing, but specifically around film. I mean, not in general.
I know a lot of filmmakers from Brooklyn, because I used to live in Brooklyn too.
I know that. Yes.
Yeah. Then moved up state.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I was required by law to do the same. And
by law.
No, not really. All right. Well, this has been a treat.
Thank you, Adam. Yeah, it's so nice to reconnect.
Same here. Yeah. All right. Well, have a good afternoon and evening ahead. Yeah. And I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that is the show. That is episode number 785. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thank you for tuning into Film Wax. I appreciate you very much. This is Adam Shartoff, your host. Take care of yourself and the ones you love. Until next time.